Good morning. I'd like to call the House Resource Committee meeting to order on Wednesday, June the 1st, 2016. And so we have with us today Representative Seaton, Representative Tarr, Speaker Chenault, Representative Herron, Representative Josephson, Representative Johnson. I'm the co-chair, Representative Tallarico, and Representative Nagyok may be joining us soon. Representative Hawker is excused today. So today we have ADA staff and Department of Law are here to follow up on some of the questions that we had and clarify some outstanding issues before the committee regarding HB 246 is what we're dealing with. It's the ADA Funds Loans Program Dividend. So I'd like to hear from ADA, and I'm planning on taking up amendments, and I'd like to move the bill if that's the will of the committee in today's hearing. So, gentlemen, if you could come forward, I'd like to welcome Deputy Commissioner Fred Parody and former Senator and Representative Mr. Gene Terrio. And I do believe that we have Jerry Judé is online, our Assistant Attorney General, and Mr. Springsteen, John Springsteen, is also online. So if you gentlemen could identify yourselves for the record, please, and begin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Fred Parody. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Gene Terrio, staff to ADA. And we appreciate the opportunity to work with committee members on the amendments that are before you today. We're not going to oppose any of the amendments. We're supportive of the committee potentially moving to the point that a bill is reported out. We've also heard from the committee aide that there are likely to be some stylistic changes as the CS is produced. This will be the first CS on the bill. And since it was a governor's piece of legislation drafted by the Department of Law, I certainly understand that quite often the drafters, in order to conform things to the legislative style, make some changes, and we're not anticipating that it would be anything of substance. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we're prepared to respond to any questions that the committee members have or questions that come up on individual amendments.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions that the committee has for either these gentlemen or Mr. Judé or Mr. Springsteen before we begin an amendment process? Just want to see if there's anything out there that anyone would like to ask.
Sure.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Parody and Mr. Senator Terrio mentioned that they were broadly receptive to these amendments, but I just wanted to give them an opportunity in the overall, to express any anxiety you might have with any single amendment, or anyway, any impacts that, that give you concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I'll take a stab at that. ADA tries to be very protective of its latitude, its authority, but we certainly understand it is the legislature's prerogative to put limitations on the entity as you create tools for the entity to use. A number of the amendments just sort of put some sideboards on. Our default preference would be that we just leave it to the board of directors to make calls for the entity. But again, we understand you exercise your prerogative to put those sideboards on.
Any other questions, discussion, comments? Well, I thank you both for being here, and like I say, we also have the Assistant Attorney General online, and we have Mr. Springsteen online as well. If we have no other comments or questions, though, we have the amendments in front of us, so I think we'll just move into the amendment process. We have amendment number one, which I believe is from Representative Herron. Do I have a motion to move amendment number one?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Thank you. We have an objection. Representative Herron, would you like to speak to the amendment?
This was a concern at the last, Mr. Chairman, this is a concern at the last meeting, and I worked with Gene, and he suggested this language, and that's why I'm proposing it. So I'm very supportive of this amendment.
Okay, thank you. Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question.
Will removing this language in any way be a problem for conduit financing? I know we talked about conduit financing, and I want to make sure that that won't block any fees from being established or that come through conduit financing from being deposited into this fund. And can you discuss that issue?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked Director Springsteen specifically about that concern the other day, and he indicated to me that no passage of this amendment would not preclude the conduit financing. That those fees, if that activity were to go on, those fees would be able to come into the entity without being impaired.
Thank you.
Representative
Seaton. And so other than just the fees, the adoption of this amendment would not impact the ability of ADA to do conduit financing either. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other discussion, questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm just wondering, do you have any examples of the type of transfer that would occur with this language left in the bill?
I'd like to perhaps have Mr. Springsteen weigh in, but to my knowledge, ADA, the board has not transferred money between funds. In fact, Mr. Springsteen, I think, will say that from the revolving fund, they're precluded from transferring that money. But, Mr. Chairman, if I could have Mr. Springsteen weigh in on that.
Yeah, please. Mr. Springsteen, if you could identify yourself for the record, please.
This is John Springsteen, Executive Director of ADA, and that is my understanding as well. Adding in this language would certainly balkanize the fund, so you wouldn't have the ability to move in or out. Today, the other funds within ADA, the SEPS fund, the Arctic Infrastructure, have been not largely unfunded, and there has not been any activity to by our board to move in between the separate funds, and it's also my understanding that the revolving fund is precluded from transferring funds outside of the revolving fund.
Thank you, Mr. Springsteen. I think Representative Seaton, did you have a question? Representative Tarr, you have a follow-up there?
I did have a follow-up, if I could. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Springsteen, the other funds that haven't been capitalized, and this one won't unless there's some appropriation that goes to it. So I'm just wondering, the existing loans that are through the revolving loan fund, they'll stay in that fund then through the life of that particular loan. They wouldn't ever be transferred into this new fund that's being created. And I'm specifically talking to the 14% that are already oil and gas infrastructure loans.
Yes, that's correct. This one would be intended for new activity.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Josephson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for Mr. Springsteen, so the deletion of this language as a practical matter in terms of ADA's operation, the flexibility with which it makes its investment decisions, it doesn't really have any, it wouldn't have any net effect on your operation?
As of today, no.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on amendment number one? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to be clear, the purpose for establishing this fund is so that we don't get an overweight of one sector into the revolving fund. And so can you give me an example of where you would use the ability to transfer between funds in the situation? I mean, if you can't take money out of the revolving fund to capitalize any of the funds, then the only direction it seems possible is to take money out of this fund to capitalize another fund, or out of the Arctic fund if there was money in there to capitalize this. Am I correct? And does that change the sector mix that has been established by setting forward these separate funds to be sector specific?
Through the chair, to Representative Seaton, I would agree with you that by making this amendment and changing the language, that it isolates this fund solely for oil and gas infrastructure development, and funds could not be moved after this amendment were adopted between the Arctic infrastructure sets and oil and gas infrastructure development programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments on amendment number one? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to understand, if the language was put in this bill originally, there must have been some thinking that this could be a tool at some point in the future. Could you see a circumstance where something started out in, I guess not the revolving loan fund because that's already prohibited, but say in the Arctic infrastructure fund that sort of became more clearly an oil and gas infrastructure project at some point, would that have been a circumstance where you might have been transferred and then it would have, opened up opportunity in that Arctic infrastructure fund or some example like that?
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I think it goes to flexibility within the funds or lack of, and, who has, who makes the decision. So if we were to move down the road and say there were appropriations into SETS and Arctic infrastructure and into oil and gas infrastructure development fund, then would that decision to move funds rest with the border with the legislature? And so this clearly that puts it at the discretion of the legislature, and we need to come back to ask if there were appropriations to move those between the different funds.
Thank you.
Any other questions on amendment number one or comments? Seeing none, Representative Tarr, is your objection still maintained?
I'll remove my objection, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You very much. Is there any further objection to amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Next, we have amendment number two. I believe that's from Representative Chenault. Do I have a motion to move amendment number two?
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number two.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you. There's been an objection for discussion. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment attempts to do is to try to mirror existing language in the SETS fund and other funds. I have concerns with having the board who makes those decisions and has made those decisions for since the board was initiated, having to go through an attorney general to contract for services of another attorney or bond counsel to the authority. So what this does is it attempts to eliminate one more piece of the pie where someone other than ADA may have control over the projects that they're working on, and I think it's an unnecessary step to have the Attorney General to have to approve contracts. So that's what the amendment is here for.
Thank you. Any other discussion, comments, or questions from committee members? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we take a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. We'll come back to order now. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm noticing that we are deleting as the authority determines is necessary or is, and it's just going to read tech or other technical expert necessary to fulfill the purpose of the program. And I just want to make it clear we're not fundamentally changing who's determining that, that the this is just cleanup language and that the board is still in charge of making that decision. I just want to get it on the record. And is that the case of the amendment?
That's so you're asking
Representative Seaton to the chair, that is the intent. The intent is for the board to be able to make those decisions on their own.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, for Mr. Springsteen or his colleagues, my question is, does ADA currently need the approval of the Attorney General to contract for services of an attorney?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Through the chair to Representative Josephson, I defer this the process discussion to Assistant Attorney General Jerry G. Day.
Okay, same question then for Mr. Judea, if he's on the line.
Mr. Judea, if you could state your name for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Jared Judea. I'm the Assistant Attorney General for the state of Alaska, and I represent ADA.
So, Mr. Judea, it's Representative Josephson, and I'm just curious if ADA, since its inception, has needed counsel, does it simply have a motion where its board approves the hiring of counsel? I'm just curious how that works.
Through the chair, to the representative, the way it works now is ADA does hire outside counsel through the Department of Law. That's the way it's worked for since ADA's been established. There are the proposed amendment, though, does match language in this bill to what's now in this SEPS bill, and I believe also the RIT infrastructure bill. So I think the expectation there is that we give flexibility potentially to the board to not go to the Department of Law if they chose to make their own selection, if I'm understanding the intent of the amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
The way it works now, it does go to the Department of Law.
Yeah. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments with amendment number two? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just trying to understand. So in number four here in this, it's really dealing with these different type of professional advisors that might be necessary, and then deleting number five is saying that then it wouldn't be necessary to have the approval of the Attorney General for those same services.
Yeah, I believe
that. To the maker of the amendment, please.
Representative Todd, through the chair, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions or comments on amendment number two? Seeing none, is the objection still maintained? Representative Tarr, I think.
I will remove my objection.
Thank you very much. Is there any further objection on amendment number two? Seeing none, amendment number two is adopted. And next we have amendment number three, which is, I believe, from Representative Seaton. Do I have a motion to move amendment number three?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I'd move amendment number three.
Thank you. I'll object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the purpose of the amendment is to place an upper limit on how much financing ADA can provide a single project before they're required to come to the legislature for approval. We have a language that says that the legislature can approve, and we have a $25 million in loan guarantees. We have to approve that, but there's no limitation on the amount of a direct loan that can be given before we get legislative approval. And since we're setting up this fund for a process, and we're trying to put some limits on, obviously, with loan guarantees, we should probably have some kind of limit on direct loan without legislative approval as well. So that's the purpose of this. And, you know, I would like to ask a couple of questions to the department if that's appropriate at this time.
Oh, please, Representative Seaton.
So I'm wondering what the interaction, or is there any interaction between loan guarantees and full financing, and what would that be?
Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio, for the record, following a conversation with the representative yesterday, we did have a meeting with Mr. Devin Mitchell, and he indicated that there really is no link between that the loan guarantee and the maximum dollar amount for the loans. There had been the suggestion that the loan guarantees are limited to like a 10%, or there was some kind of a ratio, but Mr. Mitchell said there really isn't. So basically the impact of this amendment, as the representative indicated, right now we would be able to participate in lending on a project but could not go over 50% of the total cost of the project. That's sort of the existing limitation. This would put a hard dollar upper ceiling, and if ADA wanted to engage in financing beyond that, we would have to get prior legislative approval.
Representative Seaton.
So for clarification, this would allow you to loan up to 50% of a $200 million project or 25% of a $400 million project, because it's a amount that limits the exposure of ADA as a dollar amount without legislative approval. But you couldn't exceed the 50% cap, but you could be less than the 50% cap. Is that correct?
That's correct. So at that 50%, you're right, ADA's participation could be $100 million for a $200 million project. The $25 million, though, is for a loan guarantee, and that's a separate hard dollar limit that if we wanted to do a loan guarantee beyond $25 million, we'd also have to get legislative approval prior.
And just follow up, one follow-up. So if you were doing a 25% loan, not a 50% loan, you could participate on a $400 million project loaning $100 million. Is that, I wasn't mixing the loan guarantee percent.
I misunderstood, Mr. Chairman. The representative's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Herring.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the maker of the motion is, and to the department, why $100 million? I'm not opposed to the amendment, but I mean, just for the record, why $100 million?
Through the chair, Representative Herring, it seemed to me that if the purpose of this bill was to have the ability of ADA to loan to oil and gas infrastructure, but to have some constraints, such as you can't do a loan guarantee of more than $25 million, if we are just saying that you can loan any amount that you can bond for a oil and direct loan, I think those two things are somewhat in conflict if we are trying to limit the exposure of the state without legislative approval, and it seemed to me the $100 million was a reasonable figure, and if it was more than that, we might want to have legislative approval. So that's what this was seeking to do.
Representative Herring?
Yeah, and again, I think it's important to have it on the record because there might be, could be, in the future, a legislature that say that $100 million is, that's too high, we should have a lower limit, or $100 million is not high enough. So just so it's on the record, it really is a benchmark that we're not sure is the right number, correct, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton.
Through the chair, Representative Herring. That's correct. It's a benchmark to try and establish where legislative approval would come in. It could always be modified by a future legislature. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, comments on the amendment? And maybe Mr. Terry or Mr. Paraday, if you could just reiterate for me, you don't have any opposition to this particular amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I know the maker of the amendment was considering a variety of dollar amounts. We suggested that we'd be as generous as possible, just knowing the cost of the oil and gas infrastructure. And so we appreciate them that he decided to go with a higher number.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments on the amendment? I'll remove my objection. Are there any other objections from the committee? Seeing none, then amendment number three, I believe I'm on amendment number three, is adopted by the committee. Thank you very much. Next we have amendment number four. I believe that's from Representative Seaton. Do I have a motion to move amendment number four?
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Seaton.
I move amendment number four.
Okay. Is there an objection? I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Seaton.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is clarifying language just to make ensure that ADA cannot be responsible for a dismantlement, removal, or remediation costs of oil and gas development projects.
Okay. Any discussion? Any questions for the maker of the motion? I'll once again turn to Mr. Terrio and Mr. Parody. Any comments on this motion?
Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio, I did interact with Mr. Springsteen. It would not be the authority's intent to step in the line of that responsibility. This just makes it clear that we need to really nail that down before the lending takes place.
Okay. Any Representative Olson?
For the Speaker of the Amendment, this would include platform abandonment as well.
Through the Chair, Representative Olson, yes. You know, if we don't protect ourselves on the far end of projects, we could be looking at some kind of huge liabilities we would take up and not realize we were getting those. So it would include those kind of abandonments as well.
Any other questions from the committee, comments? If my memory serves me correctly, I was the one who objected. So I'll remove my objection. Are there any further objections to the amendment? I'm seeing none. Amendment number 4 is adopted by the committee. We'll move to amendment number 5. I believe that's Representative Seaton. Do I have a motion for amendment number 5? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 5.
Is there an objection?
I'll object.
Thank you. There's an objection. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this amendment makes it clear that the language will limit loan financing to a loan-to-value ratio not to exceed 75%. In other words, the collateral value must exceed the loan, and the loan cannot be for more than 75% of the value. And the way it was written previously, it would be 75% or greater. And I think that although it's been interpreted some other ways, that the language actually was backwards. And so this clarifies that it can't exceed that value ratio.
Any questions or comments? Once again, if I could turn to Mr. Terrio and Mr. Parody. I know that you had some other language, or maybe if you could expand on that a little bit, how you feel this fits in.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We did work with the maker of the amendment. After I did get a comment back from the Department of Law, his catch on, you know, whether it should be greater than or less than. Certainly, if you go to Wikipedia, the definition of the loan-to-value ratio, the higher that ratio, the riskier the loan. We're trying to establish a mechanism that is cautious for the entity's involvement in this type of financing. And I believe this language achieves that.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the other portion of that was to include some language I believe Representative Hawker had brought up, that he wanted to make sure that on reserves it was not only the existing price of the last year, but if the price in the preceding year is predicted to be dropping prices, that we wouldn't be evaluating it on higher than our predicted price and reduced by 10% in both cases. There was some question, and I would like to ask the department about the way we have it written is we are reducing the price by 10%. Our objective was to make sure that the value was 10% less, and I just want to make sure that calculation, putting it in there, is limiting
the estimation of price by 10% would include the total value of the project, and that's the way that ADA would work their calculations.
Mr. Chairman, again, we appreciate working with the maker of the amendment. The language here in 1 and 2 did come from discussions that we had with another member of the committee, and the attempt was to be conservative. If, in fact, reserves are to be counted as part of the collateral, how we value those reserves, we want to err on the side of caution, and this language does do that. We did suggest that we would be best to preserve a little bit of latitude here for ADA to really flesh this out in process, the process of that evaluation in regulations, because as you value the resources, you're going to have to subtract lifting cost. Depending on where you're producing, there may be treatment of costs associated and transportation to market. And I know the risk is if you start to try and put a list into statute, you run the risk of not putting something on the list. And we think that in regulatory in regulation, we will come up with a process that makes sure that we account for all of those costs again, so that if reserves are used as part of the collateral, we will err on the side of caution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's a discussion I think we needed on the record, that it's not just the price of oil times the estimated reserve, but it's actually the value in that particular project and not broadly through an entire company, but for the project that's going forward. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, is the objection maintained? I believe Representative Tarr, you had the objection. Or do you have a comment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. It was just taking me a moment because we did spend some time in the previous meeting discussing how to perhaps better define the proven reserves portion of this, and I just was trying to confirm that there wasn't language elsewhere that needed to be adjusted, but I guess on page 8 at the top, it still has the language about a process that in creating the fund, they'll create a process for confirming the existence of proven reserves sufficient to authorize financing. So the two should work well together, I guess, is what I wanted to clarify. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, thank you. Is there any further objection to amendment number 5? Seeing none, amendment number 5 is adopted by the committee. And we will move to, next we have amendment number 6. Amendment number 6, I believe, is from Representative Chenault. Do I have a motion to move amendment number 6?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number 6.
Object
Thank
for
you.
Discussion.
Thank you. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to maybe try to get a little bit of dialogue with the department going on. This is not the amendment that they proposed. I have both amendments, Mr. Chairman, and my concern with the amendment that the department had put forward was that it would exclude any pipeline of a diameter of 30 inches or larger. Mr. Chairman, I know why this has been proposed. The current amendment is almost verbatim from the, I guess the Energy Fund, or it's the SETS Fund one. And Mr. Chairman, it caused me some pause earlier this morning when I was looking at it, because maybe the department can help me out, but I think that what is currently in the SETS basically is says the same thing, that except for natural gas pipeline project for transporting natural gas from the North Slope or Cook Inlet to market. My concern, Mr. Chairman, and as I look at it, I understood that the amendment that was originally proposed by the department that has the pipe size of 30 inches or more was meant to try not to or not have the ability to fund a big pipe from, I'll just call it from North Slope to Cook Inlet. But my concern becomes, as I look at it, what if we wanted to build a pipeline for, or somebody wanted to build a pipeline and the department wanted to loan money from Cook Inlet, let's say, to Fairbanks, and they wanted to run a 12-inch line, could they? And my concern with the 30-inch size that they originally proposed was that we currently have on the shelf a pipeline project that is a 24-inch, 2,500 PSI pipeline that we already have drawings and everything for. And that would allow that type of project to go forward. But the amendment that I have before you now would not allow a smaller pipeline to go, let's say, to Donlin Creek if they chose to try to finance it through ADA. So I have a number of concerns that I've been thinking about. I, for some reason, my mind has been on other things for the last few days, and now that I've got onto this, I have some concerns. So I'm not real sure if I want to pass this amendment, but I'd like to talk to the department, make sure that my interpretation is the same, and if it is, then I may want to reconfigure this for another committee, Mr. Chairman. So if I could get any help from the department,
yes,
I would appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio for ADA. The maker of the amendment does bring up a legitimate concern. We had suggested the no bigger than 30-inch to clearly preclude that this mechanism somehow couldn't morph into a tool to build a big pipeline across the state of Alaska. It was not our intent, though, that we would preclude production facilities in the Cook Inlet area that delivers gas to the NSTAR system, because when you do that, that would be technically taking that resource to market. And so the 30-inch was an arbitrary number, thinking that, you know, that was a sensible way to separate that big export pipeline for something that took place in the state.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could, Gene, and thanks for that. You know, I'll bring up just the other example, and I think I did, of Donlin Creek. Donlin Creek is talking about running a 16-inch pipeline, 300-and-something miles. I think that they're looking for their own financing, but if we put in the amendment that I currently have, would that allow ADA, if they came to ADA and wanted to borrow money, would that allow ADA to loan money on that project?
And Mr. Chairman, it may be good to remember that this proposed fund is for oil and gas development with associated infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So if Donlin were just proposing a pipeline, no oil and gas production, just a pipeline, that may be more suited to actually go to the SETS fund, which talks about transmission of resource. So there's that interplay.
And just a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, and I understand where the 30-inch comes from, because there are on some of our leases up north, there are 30-inch pipelines that move gas across the unit, so I understand the line. Mr. Chairman, I think the more I think about it and look at it, I think I'm more comfortable with what we have proposed right now. If I think about it and something else changes, then I will try to get another amendment offered in another committee.
Okay. Sure. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I rarely disagree with the speaker, but I think if we just took Orcook Inlet out of this, it would send a signal to the next committee of the intention. And I appreciate the concern about Cook Inlet, but I'd certainly want to make sure that coming out of this committee, the intention of not having ADA financing a big pipeline would be something that would be appropriate. So with, you know, so I will yield to the maker of the amendment, but I certainly would like to certainly send that signal to the next committee that we have no intention or do not wish that to happen. So if we just removed Orcook Inlet, that might solve the problem.
Any other question, comment? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's to market. That means where it's going to be sold. So I guess that would mean a pipeline from any field to a community barrow or something else, that couldn't be done with this as well. And I guess I just trying to find out if that's the intention to say no natural gas pipelines would be financed through this, or whether it's specific for a big transmission, you know, a liquefaction kind of project is not going to be financed through this without. And I think our $100 million limitation without coming back to legislative approval might get to that point anyway. But I'd just like the maker of the motion to discuss exactly what the intent on this is. I'm becoming confused.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Shooten, through the chair, the intent is not to allow ADA to be able to use this fund or the SETS fund to finance a major gas pipeline. That is the intent of the amendment. And I'm just looking at the 30 inches or more size versus I currently know that we have a 24-inch pipeline project that's sitting on the shelf that in anybody's mind would be considered a big pipe. It doesn't necessarily have to be 30 inch. It doesn't have to be 42. It doesn't have to be 48. Any pipeline traveling 800 miles is considered a large pipe. So, you know, the intent of the amendment is to not allow ADA to use this money in any form or fashion to finance large in-state gas. That is the intent.
Representative Seaton.
A question for Omega. Does the $100 million limit without legislative approval pretty well preclude that, or do you see a way in which we could, the $100 million might be enough to, at whatever percentage, accelerate that? I'm just trying to find out the limitations, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seaton, through the chair, while it may give some comfort that we don't get into a hole too deep, I think that we need to make, as the legislature, we need to make clear what ADA is able to do with that money, and I think we need to be very clear that we don't allow them to invest in an in-state gas pipeline, large in-state gas pipeline. Not that they are, nothing against the department. It's just some concerns that we've had over time that maybe not with this administration, but with other administrations, that things happen, that the legislature loses control, and the last thing that I would like to see is the legislature lose control of the power of the purse.
Representative Tark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And perhaps gentleman here or on the phone could help with this. On, pardon me, page 6, and this is in section 10, lines 9 and 10, and this is for the SETS fund, currently says it can't be used to purchase or acquire gas reserves or a gas lease or become a working interest owner of a natural gas lease. So that limitation exists for the SETS fund, but it doesn't, if I heard Speaker Chenault correctly, it sounded like what we're contemplating here in this amendment was also a limitation that you thought would be appropriate for the SETS fund. And so I just wanted to look at the language as it exists now and think about whether some of that should be included in the amendment, or if it's if there's a reason we would want to have similar language if the intent is to prevent either of those funds from being used in that way.
Representative Tarr, through the chair, I believe in the SETS fund it currently reads liquefaction, regasification, distribution, storage, or use of natural gas, except a natural gas pipeline project for transporting natural gas from the North Slope or Cook Inlet to market. That, I believe, is the current language in the SETS fund.
Okay.
This basically eliminates liquefaction, regasification, distribution, the change between SETS and this fund. It would take out liquefaction, regasification, distribution, storage, or other use of natural gas, and insert the authority may not provide financing for natural gas pipeline project for transporting natural gas to or from Cook Inlet. So it leaves the liquefaction and everything that's in SETS alone, and it just mirrors the language that is currently in SETS.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, on Amendment 6 here on page 8, so is this actually eliminating all funds under the authority and not just the oil and gas fund? And
just Representative Chenault, did you want to respond? Or
Senator Terrio was going to respond.
And Mr. Chairman, this would just be a limitation for this proposed new fund, and so the existing limitations on the other funds would be unchanged. We certainly understand the concern of the Speaker, and had indicated to him early on that we were willing to accommodate whatever language, limitation language, on this matter that he wanted to introduce. I understand the concern of Representative Johnson, though, that, you know, does he want the committee to indicate that there might be anything that impacts the Cook Inlet area? We'll leave that up to the committee on how they want to move forward. But should the committee decide not to consider this or to consider it as it is, and the Speaker want to make further modifications, we will certainly work with him to make sure that ultimately the language is satisfactory.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Fred Parity for DCCED. To Representative Seaton's question, I just want to take him to lines to page 6, line 19. These are the new sections that are added, so they're not germane to the other funds. This is the Oil and Gas Infrastructure Development Fund and its limitations, which I believe what you're seeking.
So, Representative Josephson, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm speaking to everyone here. Is the concern with the friendly amendment from Representative Johnson that it could preclude someone from, for example, bringing to market, not preclude, but preclude ADA's assistance for bringing natural gas to North Slope communities or the interior from the north to the south? Is that the concern? Because if that isn't the concern, I don't know why that friendly amendment wouldn't work.
Representative Johnson.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, my intent is to just make sure that ADA doesn't finance a big pipeline from the North Slope to Cook Inlet. Representative Seaton brings up a good point. I certainly wouldn't want to keep anyone from being able to, if it's economic, it makes sense for them to use that gas and buy that gas. But my main concern is just that I think the same thing the speakers expressed, that we just don't want ADA involved in it. We already have enough agencies involved in that particular project.
Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, maybe for clarification, to the department, whoever wants to answer it, I believe Gene brought it up earlier, would this fund be used for transportation projects? And I will call it a gas pipeline transportation project.
Mr. Chairman, because the fund is focused on production of oil and gas, but as you produce oil and gas, you need to transport it to either a processing facility or something of that nature, or in the Cook Inlet where you don't really have to process the gas, it's clean enough to use. When you touch the NSTAR system, you are taking it to market. That would be allowed. However, I think if somebody came with just solely a pipeline project, there might be a little difficulty in suggestion that maybe that project should go to the SETS fund instead, which is more geared towards transmission of resource.
Representative Herron.
Yes, appreciate the discussion, and for the record, so that whether we do it in this committee or another committee, I raise a concern on Cook Inlet to market, because potentially Donlin, though unlikely that they would seek financing from ADA, but their gas line to their project potential is that the capacity, they'll have excess capacity, and that excess capacity could use that gas to have an electrification project to power part of the Kuskokwim. So I think that it's important that this amendment be crafted correctly.
Any other comment? Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, I think at this time I want to have a little bit more discussion about this amendment. So, Mr. Chairman, I think at this time I'll withdraw this amendment and continue to work on it as the bill moves through the process. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw amendment number six.
Okay. Thank you. Amendment number six has been withdrawn. And my records are correct. There are no further amendments for House Bill 246 at this time. So any questions or discussion from committee members? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the speaker when I said it. I've always had concerns about the proliferation, for lack of a better word, of ADA. I think if you look at the projects ADA's been involved in with a fish plant in Anchorage, which really has no landing of fish, grain terminals, they've all been political decisions as opposed to economic decisions. So I've always been concerned about that, and I think recently we had an incidence of that, and I was looking at your decision tree on page 8 or so of this, of your presentation, wherever it is, and I was wondering, we asked ADA for some assistance in evaluating the purchase of the 716 Fourth Avenue property, and my understanding is they were told to pull out. And I was looking on your decision tree at where that decision was made, and I was just kind of curious as to what, where along the process did the board make that decision to pull out and no longer assist in evaluating the acquisition of that property, and was that in fact a political decision or one that was made by the board through your decision tree?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Johnson, and I will turn to Director Springsteen to amplify this comment, but the question of the analysis of that particular proposal didn't come before the board, and if you go with slide 13 that has our decision-making process, and phase one is for a proposal description, sponsor information, estimated cost, timing, and anticipated ADA participation, and I don't believe that a proposal came before us in that context, but I'll ask Director Springsteen to amplify upon my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to Representative Johnson. We never received a formal request for ADA to participate in this project.
Representative Johnson.
Then why was the ADA representative pulled from the discussion, and how did that come about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I'm trying to understand which ADA representative you're discussing.
And I apologize, I'm drawing a blank on the name now.
It's Mark Davis.
Mark Davis. He was asked to do some analysis, and then he was told he could no longer participate. And I want to know where in the decision-making process that came from.
The chair, Representative Johnson, Mark Gates, having conflict of interest, as he is married to a legislator.
And who, and there was, okay, well, that's, and no one was asked to replace him to assist the legislature?
The chair, Representative Johnson, there has not been any formal request after that point in time.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Perry?
I just might offer to the committee, and in response to the question, that part of ring fencing ADA from political projects is use of the process, and so that initial project sponsor submittal is the entry point into the process, and it didn't occur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just concerned about the politicization of one of our agencies. Thank you.
As Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so that it's clear and in the conversation about what the Rules Chairman has asked, is that, yes, during a Ledge Council meeting, specifically Mark Davis was asked to make comment, and as far as I remember, he offered to assist in the decision process that the legislature was going through on that 4th Avenue LIO building. And then, as again, from memory, is that it was relayed to us from ADA that Mr. Davis, like Mr. Springsteen correctly, had a conflict, and to be clear of that conflict, he was set aside, but we'd have to go to the Ledge Council Chairman, Gary Stevens, to confirm that if Mr. Davis was not available for a potential conflict of interest, could ADA assist us with other personnel? And so just so that this conversation has a conclusion, I think that that has to be raised with the Ledge Council Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, and I won't belabor that point, but I guess for the record, I would like to say that ADA has been involved in projects mentioned by the Rules Chairman, such as the Fish Factory and others. But those projects, I believe, were politically motivated by, most of the time, someone in the legislature that had the ability or the authority or the power to try to push those projects. And while those, we spent millions of dollars on those and they weren't good for Alaska, ADA has done numerous projects that they've initiated through contacts with private industry, such as, the Red Dog Mine Port Project, Skagway Ore Terminal, I think the ship repair in Ketchikan, numerous other projects that they've been involved with, and they've done very good for the state of Alaska. So I don't want them to be tarnished by projects that, unfortunately, we as the legislature was the ones out pushing, and not the private industry, which you guys deal with. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I'd like to move the discussion to any committee discussion we might have on House Bill 246 as amended. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, in these interesting fiscal times, I think that the conduit financing that may be offered through this bill could be valuable to the industry without putting the state at risk, and so I'm supportive of this bill as an option that does not give us liabilities and could potentially, depending upon the applicant, be valuable to getting jobs and getting projects maintained or underway in Alaska. So I'm supportive of the bill moving forward for that option alone. So thank you.
Thank you. Any Representative Tarr?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would echo Representative Seaton's comments, and just think we accomplished today with the amendment from Representative Seaton to tighten up the sideboards a little bit there, sideboards on what can be done with the fund and what kind of financial commitment that would be. And I'm pleased that we took that step after the conversation the other day to tighten that up a little bit and think it's ready to move along as well.
Any other comments, questions? I'd like to thank the people that came today, came back to the meeting, and Senator Terrio, Mr. Parody, and we also had Mr. Jude, John Springsteen, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that Susie Schutz has from Ledge Legal has been on the phone listening in. So if we don't have any other questions or any further discussion on that, I would entertain a motion to move HB 246. Representative Herron.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 246, version 29, Golf Hotel 2613, /alpha, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And would that also be as amended?
As amended. As amended.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to the motion from the committee? I'm seeing none. Then HB 246 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee report. Come back on the record, call the committee back to order. We've got the committee report all signed. I'd like to thank all the committee members very much for being here today. Is there any further business before the committee this afternoon? Seeing none, we will adjourn at 12:13.